Good morning. How are you today? Good? All right. Good to hear it. Hey, that Harris III, you got to invite a friend. Invites, especially somebody who has kids. Let's pack this place out for next Sunday to see this guy, Christian illusionist. It's going to blow us all away. It's going to be great. And hey, I think we've got some competition down at the end of the hallway. We've got the youth band helping out down there for what they call in the kids ministry, Super Church. Super Church. Maybe you saw some of the characters dressed up in the Toy Story outfits when you came in. And I was thinking about it. Super Church. What does that make us down here, you know? You come in, you're a first timer, and they say, well, you got over here, you got church, and then down here, you got Super Church. Well, which do you want to go to, you know? How many of you believe that God can be super in more than one place, huh? All right. Great. Well, Jackie Robinson was the first African-American to play baseball in the major leagues. How many of you saw the movie that came out a few years back about Jackie Robinson's great movie? Breaking baseball's color barrier. Jackie faced hostile crowds in every stadium. While playing one day in his home stadium of Ebbets Field, in Brooklyn, he committed an error, and the fans began to boo him. And there he stood at second base, humiliated, while the crowd jeered, thousands of people booing him. Then, without saying a word, shortstop Pee Wee Reese went over and stood next to Jackie, and he put his arm around him, and he faced the crowd. Suddenly, the fans all grew quiet. Robinson said later that that arm around his shoulder saved his career. And of course, as you know, they have erected a statue to commemorate that great event. God has wired each of us so that we need each other. We need that arm around our shoulder, especially during those difficult times. And that's why the Lord has formed the body of Christ, the church. He created it to be a warm and welcoming community of people who love each other, who help each other, who look out for each other, who pray for one another, who share the burdens of one another, and cheer each other on so that we can achieve what we never thought possible on our own. But it's hard to do that, all of us together in a congregation, in a group of this size, yes. We should always be friendly, and we strive to do that. But in a group of this size, you can't know everybody. Eventually, you're going to have to, if you're going to have a close and meaningful relationship with some friends, you're going to have to narrow it down to a smaller group of people. And that's okay, as long as we don't get cliquish about it. A good example is a close family. They know each other real well, and they love each other and care for each other, but that doesn't mean that they're snobbish to other people. In fact, a loving family is just the opposite. They become, don't they, a magnet for other people who see what's going on in that family and feel drawn in by the friendliness there, and they want to be like them. A healthy church family is made up of any number of not just natural families, but also small groups of people in that church that meet together regularly to pray, to fellowship, to learn the Bible, and to encourage each other. Today, I want to share with you about small groups at Stony Creek Church. I want to introduce you to the biblical concept of small groups, so that if you're not already connected to a small group, you're not already a part of one, you'll consider joining one. I want to show you what's going on here at our church so that you can get excited about it too. I'm going to play the salesman today, and I'm going to try to sell you on the idea. But like the ShamWow guy says, when you see what it's like, you'll find that it sells itself. And this is better than any towel, I'm telling you. This really works. It all boils down to our main idea. The one thing that you want to remember if you forget everything else I say, and here it is. Be an SCC groupie. Be an SCC groupie. Now, not the kind of groupie that follows a rock band around and maybe gets into, you know, some nefarious activities. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a groupie that follows Jesus around with a band of brothers and sisters, a small group of people, say somewhere between 4 and 12 people or so, who like hanging out together, who help each other, who look out for one another, who pray for one another, who share the burdens of one another. If one of them goes into the hospital or has a baby or there's a death in the family, the others are there to help support them and to cheer them on so that they can make it through that difficult time, so that we achieve what we never thought possible on our own. Today, I want to show you three reasons why you should join a Stony Creek Church small group. The first one, point number one, and if you had an outline to fill in blanks, I would say this is where you need to fill in the blanks, but we don't have outlines today where there are fill-ins, but you can still take notes. The first one is Jesus' small group is our example. Jesus had a small group. In fact, the first thing Jesus did when he started his public ministry was to begin to form a small group of disciples. He called them his 12 apostles. And I'd like you to look at Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, where we see his forming of that small group. And help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. Help me out. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Now notice from this text, Jesus' reason for appointing 12 apostles, first of all, was that they might be with him. Did you ever notice that? He wanted people with him. He wanted friends. He wanted companionship. This close-knit band of brothers traveled together. They ate together. They worked and played together. They worshiped together. The experience transformed their lives. And eventually, they went out and changed the world. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 27. Jesus is speaking here to his 12 apostles. He says, "You are those who have stood by me in my trials. You've been there with me through thick and thin." And then he says, "And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Notice here that the same guys who stuck with Jesus through thick and thin, his small group, were the same guys Jesus had trained and built into to accomplish his vision. And he's saying, hey, it's going to pay off for you. During Jesus' 3-year ministry, he spent time alone with his 12 apostles, training them. Look at what it says in Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 30. It says, "They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples." Did you catch that? You know, we sometimes think that Jesus just spent all his time with the crowds, ministering to the multitudes. But that's not so. The crowds were fickle. They would come and go. Many of them were there just because they wanted to see a miracle. Or they were there just, you know, because it was the latest thing. But Jesus' primary focus was on training his small group. And so Jesus is our example for small group ministry. The second reason, number two, why you should join a Stony Creek Church small group is the early Christians met in small groups. After Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus continued to meet with his band of brothers for 40 days, training them for their mission. And then, after he ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit came on the church on the day of Pentecost, the church exploded into a crowd of thousands of people in Jerusalem. And yet, even then, small groups continued to be a central feature of the church's ministry. Look what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It says, every day, it's talking here about thousands of people, folks, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now notice from this passage that their meetings were held in two basic formats. One, they met, it says, in the temple courts. The temple was huge. It occupied 25, 26 football fields. That was the size. It was an enormous place. And so a crowd of thousands of people could be easily accommodated in a structure like that. Those were for the big assemblies where the entire congregation could come together and meet for worship. But then it says that they continued to meet in their homes. They met in their homes to share the Lord's Supper together, to share dinner together, to fellowship together. And so there was the large crowd, the big assembly, and then there was the small group. And this pattern continued as the church spread out. You know, a city might have one congregation, but, of course, they couldn't all meet together because at that time they didn't have in every city a place big enough for a congregation to meet together all at one time. And so they met together in small groups regularly in homes, house churches, we call them, for prayer, for teaching, for fellowship, and a meal, using the same model that Jesus gave them. This is the model that is still used around the world, folks. Some of the best churches in the world, the biggest churches in the world, also have a great small group ministry. And it's especially true in nations where Christianity is illegal Church buildings are not to be found anywhere, and the church has to meet, as it were, underground. They meet in houses, and they thrive in these small groups. Let's look at a third reason why you should join a Stony Creek Church small group, and that is a Stony Creek small group will help you grow in Christ. Here's where it connects with you personally. Now, how do I know this? How do I know it'll help you to grow? Well, it's not just my own personal experience. Lots of people here at Stony have shared with me their personal experiences about this. And today, I want you to hear from some of them. The first is Amy Reiber. She's going to come up and share her testimony. She meets with the college-age group. They meet on every other Sunday evening at Chris and Leah Bordeaux's at their home. Come on up, Amy. Now.
Hi. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just going to read this because I get nervous. So I've attended the college-age group for years. Before that, I went to the Binkowski's small group. And I also grew up in the Stony Creek Youth Group, and we had small group meetings on Wednesdays. I've basically been a part of these things for so long that they've become a part of me. I imagine there would be a definite emptiness in my week, however busy, without the fellowship and biblical growing that I get to share with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether I'm in the midst of a spiritual high or a spiritual low, the consistent Bible studies, prayer, accountability, and camaraderie that my small group offers me has never let me down. Personally, I've never walked away from a small group meeting thinking I wish I weren't so involved. We cry, laugh, learn, serve, and grow together. We share the good and the bad. We've become a family. I love spending time with people who can encourage me in my walk with God, people who truly care. Getting to be around people who try to love those around them with the love of Christ is a rare gift. It's a refreshing contrast to what most of the world offers me from day to day. There are many ways the Holy Spirit convicts us and encourages us to live for Christ daily, and I think that keeping a tight-knit relationship with Christian friends who are willing to study the Word of God and who value living it out is one way that He chooses to do so. When I study God's Word closely and reflect on it with others, it strengthens my understanding of God and my friends here as well. As we grow in our friendships with each other, we are growing in our relationships with God and individually and together as a group.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Great. Thanks, Amy. Really appreciate that testimony. Before I show you another person sharing a testimony, I want to read one. Several people sent in testimonies, written testimonies. I can't read them all. There are just too many. There were many good ones. I'm going to share one from Pat Ray. Where is Pat? Where'd you go, Pat? Oh, there she is, back there. See, I put you on the spot anyway, even though I'm just reading this. Pat meets with Dixie Javery's small group of women, and this is what she writes. The reason I like small groups is that we learn at our own pace. We also lift each other up and pray for each other and encourage each other. We hear each other's opinions on different matters. I think we're able to learn more easily. Doing a book together also helps you to learn. I like the social aspect also. Getting to know the people more closely. So that is what Pat had to say about her group. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate that. Sometimes groups meet in unusual places, not just in homes. Andy Barba works for Chrysler Motors, and in addition to leading a small group in his home, he's also started another group at his workplace. He organized it, and they meet during lunchtime. It includes believers as well as some unbelievers. And Andy has even seen some of them come to Christ. It's really been exciting. Right now, he's leading his group through the book of Genesis together. Here's a testimony, we'll see it up on the screen, from one of Andy's group members at his workplace.
My name is Alan, and I just want to thank you, Andy, for inviting me to the work Bible study and leading me back to the Lord. Reading the last couple of chapters in Genesis has made me realize that I too had been falling for idols in my life, such as cars and ATVs and just a bunch of stuff. How can I truly know the difference between blessings and idols? I have a good feeling that these things that I mentioned are idols because I have ignored them since strengthening my relationship with Jesus. I also know that if I got rid of them all today, I wouldn't miss any of them. You see, I'm learning something new every time I pick up the Word of the Lord. And lately, I can't wait for Sundays to get back to church to worship the Lord. And my daughter and I, we have a great time when we go to church. So thanks and God bless.
All right. Alan Rankin. And thanks to Andy for forming that group and making such a difference in that man's life. Really appreciate that, Andy. Judy Bernard and her three daughters, Jacqueline, Amber, and Ashley, host a small group in their home every Tuesday evening. And their group is especially good at reaching out to people outside of our church body. And one of those folks is a woman by the name of Marvie. Marvie is an attorney, and she attends the group, and this is what she wrote about her experience at Judy's small group. First, know that although I'm not a member of your church, she's speaking to us, there are several studies offered in my area by my church members, but I chose to drive to the Bernards to the study that they hold at their home every Tuesday evening. They are so gracious to open their home, and they have food prepared for us since a lot of us come directly from work. I was nervous to attend a study at someone's home, but felt immediately comfortable. The Bernards, all of them, are kind, loving, and knowledgeable women that never made me feel out of place, though that is often how I feel on a regular basis, just in her own life. Not only does it give me much needed time to study God's Word, but it gives me a real break from the pressures of life. People pray for me. People we pray for each other. I go there, I learn the Word of God, I discuss it, I grow and have energy to keep going the rest of the week. I honestly don't believe that the hour and a half I spend on at church on Sunday mornings is enough for me to carry me through the whole week. There was a time, due to illness, that I was unable to attend the small group. Missing the Bible study was devastating for me. I had no idea what I missed until I was not able to attend. The Bernards offered that I attend via computer. That sounds like them. That sounds like an idea they'd come up with. But it just wasn't the same. The fellowship, the interaction, the human compassion was missing in that approach. I had no idea how much I needed it and missed it. After being able to attend again, I have it back and I'm extremely grateful. I strongly encourage everyone to find a small group Bible study to join. So that's Marvie's testimony. That puts it very well. John Reynolds was sitting right there, and his wife Jen have attended various small groups at Stony Creek Church. So let's hear from John. He pre-recorded his testimony.
Hello, I'm John Reynolds, and I'm here today to talk to you about small groups. I've been a member here at Stony since 1997 and started going to a small group even before I became a member. I've participated in small groups going on 18 years and have even led one a couple of times. So what's the big deal, you may ask? Let me tell you, if you're not part of a small group, you're missing out. How? Well, the church is the body of Christ made up of believers. We are told in God's word to encourage and lift up each other, pray for each other, to confess our sins to each other, to restore each other, to bear one another's burdens, to learn and grow together, and so on. If you are not part of a small group, then how are you doing these things? It's pretty hard if you come and sit in the auditorium for an hour, have a few casual conversations, and then leave. Why? Because the church is about relationships. Relationships with God and with His people. Small groups cause relationships to happen. Through these relationships, we find accountability, encouragement, prayer support, and much, much more. The types of things Christ intended for us to experience when He set up the church in the first place. At Stony, we see ourselves as one big family. The relationships that have caused this to happen come from those working in ministry together and from those involved in small groups. I have been so blessed over the years by the many friendships I've formed through small groups. While at Stony, I've experienced numerous health issues, financial, emotional, and spiritual struggles, and depression. Yet, I have always had the Stony Creek family to lean on. The encouragement and prayer support I've been given time and time again have brought me through some pretty dark times that I truly couldn't handle on my own. And the friendships have been at times life-altering. If you find in your Christian walk that you are lacking this family experience, or feeling empty because you don't feel connected, or struggling and in need of support, or if you just look forward to meeting new people and making new friendships, or learning more about God and His people, join a small group. It may not be everything you are looking for, but then it might just change your life.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Well done. Very well done. Well, now that you've heard from some satisfied customers, just like the continue the salesman thing here, maybe you're wondering how you would go about trying out and selecting a small group that would fit for you. Well, now is a great time to consider, because just after Easter, several of our small groups are going to be launching new Bible studies. So you can start with a fresh topic. You can get in on the ground floor, as it were. All the info for joining a Stony Creek small group is available at our website. So just go to stonycreekchurch.org and then click on Ministries. Supposed to have this on a slide, but maybe it'll show up here. You go to stonycreekchurch.org, click on Ministries, and then click on Small Groups. And there you will find a complete list of groups, including the name of the person who leads the group. You'll find the basic location of the group. You'll find the contact information, so you can get in touch with the person and say, hey, I'd like to come to your group. And then also what that group is studying. So everything you need is right there at the website. Now, as I said, we're starting up 4 new studies at Stony. And right now, I'd like to give you a taste of what these 4 studies are like. Each one features a video curriculum that you watch, and then you watch that as a group, and then you discuss the video and a biblical passage or passages after the video. The first study is called The Circle Maker, and it's all about how to learn to improve your prayer life, how to pray with great effectiveness. So let's take a look at a clip from that video curriculum.
Well, a few years ago, I discovered the legend of Honey the Circle Maker. It changed the way that I pray. I started drawing prayer circles around my kids, around the promises in Scripture, around some of the miracles that I was believing God for. Well, I believe that the next 4 weeks could change your life and change the way that you pray. You're going to learn how to pray in a new way, how to dream big and pray hard and think long. You can't just read the Bible. You need to start circling the promises. Listen, start praying wisdom around your kids. Start praying power around your problems. Start praying with faith around your dreams. Your job is not to crunch numbers and make sure the will of God adds up. Your job is to draw circles in the sand. And if you draw the circle, God will multiply the miracles in your life. Praying through is not just about getting the answer that you want from God. Praying through is about praying even when you don't get the answer that you want. Our prayers are like time capsules. You never know how or when or where God's going to answer them, but you can live with the holy anticipation. I think one of my desires is this, that your small group would turn into a prayer circle, that you would begin to pray for one another. And I just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you as well. Not just that you enjoy this series, but that it changes the way you pray. And so God bless you as you begin this series. And I pray that both the DVD and the book will be a blessing to you.
Three of our groups are starting up the Circle Maker, what you just saw there. And so check the website. The second new study that we're featuring is called Acts of God. And this study deals with the question of where is God during difficult times, during times of pain and suffering and tragedy. Let's take a look at a clip from Acts of God.
The Bible portrays God as a compassionate father who works all things together for the good of his children. But even the most caring earthly father permits his children to experience pain to mature them.
Oh, Sarah, honey, how are you? Really?
Fine, I'm fine, thanks.
If God is all-powerful and all-loving, why does he allow horrible things to happen to such good people?
If one more person tells me God never gives you more than you can handle,
the challenge is to be faithful where we are, even though it hurts, even though we don't understand why.
I don't believe in God. No offense.
None taken. Sorry.
Becca wasn't your fault.
You have no idea what I've done.
Let me make you happy.
You want easy answers. But is that the way it works in your life, in your world? Really tough questions have easy answers. So a key to faithfulness is not only trusting his goodness, but waiting for his timing. Father, we know that your ways are not only higher than our ways, your ways are often more difficult to understand. So help us
to hold on and to trust that some way, somehow, all things are still going to work together for good to those that love you. And help us to believe that in the end, your way will prevail.
Three of our groups are starting up this study, Acts of God. Looks riveting, looks heavy, and yet I'm sure it's going to be very, very meaningful. So again, check the website for a small group with Acts of God near you. There's a third study that we're doing that's called AHA. AHA. That's not some foreign word. It's just discovery. Aha, yes. This is a very creative study. It's led by Kyle Eidelman. Many of you participated in either God's at War or Not a Fan. Well, this is one of Kyle Eidelman's studies like that. Those were. And this is an in-depth look at Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. And yet, it's brought into modern times by showing the story of several people who are far from God and how God draws them to Him. So you watch the story unfold, and then you study the scriptures after watching the video. Let's take a look at a clip from AHA.
The word aha is defined as a sudden understanding, recognition, or resolution. It is this beautiful moment when someone sees something they've never seen before and it changes everything. Every aha story leads to the distant country, the areas of our lives where we leave God out.
I just will spend the rest of my life with that man.
So, you steal Claire Aniston again?
You ready to work on the house?
No, actually.
3 more years before we can start on the house.
All of our sacrifices were for this.
All we need to make a boatload of money is both our signatures on the same check.
The distant country becomes a place of desolation and ultimately a place of desperation.
Would you like to come upstairs?
My little girl is going to medical school. Come here, Leah.
I don't have the heart to tell him that we can't afford it.
Oh, you can afford it. Just keep turning me down.
The faster we raise the money, the faster we can get out of this.
Melissa, hi.
I know what you're doing.
Right. I've been waiting here for you.
You are pathetic. You got 5 minutes to get cleaned up and get back out there.
Do you want to stop hurting now, or do you want to stop hurting later?
But despite that, it can become the moment where there is this beautiful collision and everything can change.
Well, as you can see, three of our groups are doing AHA as their Bible study. This is a gutsy study. Seeing the parable of the prodigal son like you've never seen it before and illustrated in this story that you watch and then you study the scriptures together. Well, our final, fourth and final study focuses in on what it means to really be a devout Christ follower, to really lose the phony religion, the phony mask of religion, and follow Jesus the way he taught us to follow him in the Bible. This study is called All In. So let's take a look at All In.
A century ago, a band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. They purchased single tickets to the mission field without the return half. And instead of suitcases, they packed all of their earthly belongings into coffins. As they sailed out of port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved, everything they knew. They knew that they might never return home. I think the primary reason why I wrote this book is because I'm afraid that a lot of people go to church their entire life but never go all in with God. And so they want to buy in but not sell out. And I want to challenge them. Not only are you selling God short, I believe you're selling yourself short. It's not until you go all in and all out that you really discover what it means to live by faith, what it means to have peace that passes understanding, what it means to have a joy unspeakable. I believe that there are a lot of people who believe that they're following Jesus, but the truth is, they've invited Jesus to follow them. Whole different deal. The adventure doesn't begin until you go all in with God and start living for his purposes.
Four of our small groups are starting all in soon. And so, once again, check the website. Go to stonycreekchurch.org, click on ministries, click on small groups. Now, if you're thinking, oh, wow, those went by kind of quickly and they kind of all mashed together in my mind, I'd kind of like to see them again. You can view these again, if you'd like to review, by going to our Facebook page, where you will find these clips and be able to click on and watch them again. If none of these studies appeal to you, or none of the times appeal to you when they're meeting, there are others available. The ones that I showed you are just the ones that are getting started after Easter. In April, the studies are getting started. And so if you want a complete list of all our groups, check out our website. Or if you've got questions and you say, you know, I'm not very good with, you know, the internet or websites, that kind of thing, but I'm still interested. Andy Barba is our small groups director. And Andy, why don't you just stand up so people can get a look at you. Andy's going to be down here after the service. So if you need some more information, maybe you're not good with websites, or you just want to ask him something, he'll be down here to talk after the service to answer your questions. Bottom line, folks, be a Stony Creek Church groupie. That's our main idea for today. Well, we're going to close our service in just a moment here. Actually, we're a little OT. The ushers are going to prepare for today's offering, and the musicians are going to lead us in one last rousing song, okay? I'm told it's an upbeat song, and Amanda is all pumped to lead us in that song. So as we close up, we're going to have a prayer here to dedicate this offering to the Lord. But maybe you're here today and you're hurting in some way or another, or you've got some questions about what it really means to follow Jesus, and you'd like to talk with somebody about that. Well, please, when the service closes, feel free to come up here and talk on this side of the platform to our pastoral prayer team. They can pray with you, and they can give you some spiritual counsel. Okay? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, that here at Stony Creek Church, we're engaged in both experiences. The congregational meeting where we celebrate together on Sunday mornings, and the smaller groups where we can get plugged in and have that fellowship and that interaction that we need, that arm around the shoulder that we all need, Lord. I pray that those who are here today that aren't plugged in yet to a small group would seriously consider it and think about the options and pray about it, that couples would discuss with each other, well, what might work for us, and try it out. And Lord, that our small groups would continue to grow and flourish, and as a result, that each of us would be built up and would be stronger in our faith. Lord, as we give you of our tithes and offerings now, we ask that you would just bless this offering, that it would be an act of worship for you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.